Reading from James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. That's something to think about. If any of you lack wisdom, what should we do if we lack wisdom? We should ask God, and listen to this part, who gives generously to all, and then listen to this, without finding fault. He'll give generously to all of us without finding fault, and it will be given to us. Wow, listening friend, that's a great verse. But let me also, because I have Mike Crosta joining me again in the studio, if we were here yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard all about wisdom and how God wants to impart that to us so we can be as witnesses, as representatives. We listed out seven different aspects of wisdom that can help us in our workplace, in the ways we interact with others, in decision-making, a lot of different things. And that program, along with today's edition of Mark and Friends, is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also wluj.org, wluj.org. But lest I get on a tangent, let me also read from Mark chapter 11, verse 17, because it'll fit into some of today's broadcast. And these are words of Jesus. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?" That's Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. And as mentioned, Mike Crosta joined me again in the studio, and I gave him a little bit of an introduction yesterday. And so I want to get him right into reading his book, which I highly recommend you all purchasing multiple copies. And so Mike Crosta joins me in the studio again. And his book is titled At His Side, Divine Wisdom and the Church in Partnership with God. You might say, the church in partnership with God? Yes, God has instituted the church so that we gather, we get to know him, we worship him, we study his word, we refine each other, we get the declaration of God's word taught into us so we can go into all of our world and share that good news message of Jesus. Well, we can do that as we ask God for wisdom and insight. Now, those of us that follow Jesus have the Holy Spirit in us, but many times we have to seek and passionately ask God to enlighten our minds and hearts, order our steps, but give us that wisdom that he's willing to give. And so Mike has written a book. It's titled At His Side. You can pick it up through Amazon, but I highly recommend the book. And Mike joins us today. And so I'm going to ask him to begin reading Appendix A. I referenced this yesterday, and it's kind of required reading for all those that'll come out this Friday night as we have our overnight prayer at our studios in Springfield. We're meeting basically at about 11:30, 11:45 p.m., so late night this Friday night. And then come midnight, basically 12:01 a.m. Saturday morning, we'll begin six different hours with very specific emphases, goals for each hour on what we're going to pray, how we're going to intercede, how we're going to listen to God, how we're going to hear from him and pray back some of the things he might be revealing to us. There'll be times of worship and adoration, just praising God, like Mike teaches when we gather here on the first and third Thursdays. Before we enter into any listing of intercession or our laundry list of prayers, we first just adore him. We acknowledge he is sovereign, he is good, he is great, and then we intercede and ask God for things. But there's a great order, and this Appendix A covers some of that, and so much so that I want anyone that's coming out this Friday, Saturday, that's going to pray with us overnight to read this. And so we'll have copies for people to go through when they come. But if you're interested and want to receive this Appendix A, I would say purchase the book, but we can also email. Mike has given permission that we can email the appendix to those that are going to participate in our Saturday early morning, basically Friday night gathering in Springfield. So you can call the station and find out more. But I want to get out of the way here, Mike, because I want you to begin reading some of this Appendix A. It's worth the value of this whole book, even though I loved every aspect of this book. And you and I have briefly talked before today's program. Maybe we can do a series of going through some of these chapters in the days ahead and just talk about the unique aspect of wisdom that God entrusts to those that follow Jesus and ask for it. But how about reading Appendix A, and it's titled Wisdom and the Restoration of David's Fallen Tent, and maybe any other introductory remarks you want to make.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, I'm glad to do it. So let's get started. In our day, prayer houses and houses of prayer have sprouted all over the world. Believers across the denominations are praying for their churches, praying for their cities, and interceding for their nations on a scale never seen before. In some states in the U.S. recently, leaders called prayer groups to gather at specific times in every county seat so that there would be synchronized prayer covering the entire state. It seems fair to say that the church itself across the world is undergoing a radical transformation. Traditional ways of understanding its mission and purpose, established ways of thinking about its habits, strategies, and practices are changing. Leaders of prayer ministries frequently point to two scriptures as justification for their prayer gatherings. Quote, Mark 11:17, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations," unquote, and the famous prophecy from Amos 9:11-12 and repeated by James at the council in Jerusalem described in Acts 15:16-18. I quote, "After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages." Prayer leaders have understood the Amos prophecy to mean restoring day and night worship that David established after he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He appointed Levites to, quote, "minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Morning and evening, they were to offer sacrifices and, quote, to thank and praise the Lord." Applying those verses to the present, prayer leaders have concluded that if we can return to day and night prayer, praise, and worship, we would be rebuilding David's fallen tent, and that would be that. In many houses of prayer today, one will find, then, day and night prayer sets involving worship and intercession. Surely this cannot be the extent of what rebuilding David's tent means.
Hey, read that again. Listening friends, this is one of those alerts. I really want you to pay attention here because this is where I was fascinated with what Mike writes here and believe wholeheartedly there's more to it than just night and day prayer.
Yes. Surely this cannot be the extent of what rebuilding David's tent means. It has to mean so much more than simply establishing day and night worship and prayer based on the Old Testament practices. How are we to understand the restoration of David's fallen tent in light of New Testament realities? We are the newly constituted people of God. As the people of God, we are markedly different from our Old Testament counterparts. Individually and corporately, we are temples of the Lord, that is, carriers of his divine presence. God indwells each of us by his Spirit, who has distributed, according to different measures of grace, various spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. As carriers of the divine presence, we are therefore avenues or conduits for the release of his presence into the community and into our cities. This is a critical point. In the people of God today is a mighty arsenal of spiritual gifts, wisdom, and divine power, which demand to be released for the good of the church. And the place where they should naturally be released are in our prayer meetings. New Testament realities such as these must inform any understanding of restoring David's fallen tent. They are the vital missing pieces as to what this restoration means for us today. Day and night worship must incorporate new covenant realities, that the people of God are endued with gifts, wisdom, and power which demand expression, but also that the manifest presence of God is among us. We've already mentioned that Acts is a book of divine templates. We find the template for the prayer meeting in Acts 13 and the foundation for the prayer meeting in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit had just been poured out. Leaders recognized that the lost presence of God had just returned to the people of God. How were they now to steward that presence? How were they to nurture and sustain it among the people? Well, they decided to devote themselves to four priorities: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, communion, and prayer, Acts 2:42. These four practices would keep the presence of God alive and fresh in their midst. They would also be the means by which the community could produce the fullness in the saints, as the lives of Stephen, Philip, and Barnabas have shown us. These four practices, apostles' teaching, worship, communion, and prayer, constitute the wisdom template for the new people of God.
And I'm going to jump in here quickly, Mike, because we practice this on our first and third Thursday of every month, and it's become the template that I want to utilize when we meet this Friday into Saturday in Springfield, because it's just so important for us to have a clear direction that we're going to take and an emphasis for each of the hours that we're going to participate as we pray. And so the apostles' teaching, knowing God's word, that fellowship in worshiping God, the breaking of bread, we'll have communion, and then prayer and intercession. It's so powerful.
Excellent. Acts 13:2 reveals something of what happened in their prayer meetings. Quote, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Unquote. The Holy Spirit said. In their worship and prayer, the Holy Spirit spoke back to them. We need to let that sink in. In our new covenant prayer meetings, we have a God who speaks. He loves honor in the form of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. But as we do this, the Spirit comes and begins speaking back to us through the collective giftedness of the people. In Acts 13, since we know at this church there were prophets and teachers, it is likely that the Spirit of God spoke through one or more of the prophets who were present. And what he spoke to the church was a word of direction. The church gathered to honor the Lord, but then the Lord honored them by giving a directional word that vastly expanded the church throughout the known world and changed the course of history. We have a God who speaks. He uses the giftedness of his people to do so. Therefore, restoring David's fallen tent must mean more than day and night prayer and worship. That would be only half of the divine circuitry that the Spirit of God has given to us. It must also mean incorporating the reality of God speaking back to us in our prayer meetings. We should honor the Lord in thanksgiving, praise, and worship, but also encourage the gathered community to be listening for the word God is always sending, and then exhort the people to respond to it as the Spirit leads. Every group of believers who gather to honor the Lord is, therefore, a potential means for the Lord to speak back to them with a word of prophecy that gives encouragement, strength, comfort, or direction. This is not only for the strengthening of the church, but also for the release of God's wisdom into the world. This divine circuitry, this dialogue between God and his people, is not optional. Conducting day and night prayer without our listening to the Lord and then responding to him is incomplete. Combining old and new from the scriptures, and like the teacher of the law who brings out new treasures as well as old, we can at last identify the wisdom template for our prayer meetings that will surely restore David's fallen tent in our times. It contains four movements. It should begin in rest, then proceed to honor, during which time the people are listening for the word the Lord is sending, followed by the people responding to that word. Rest, honor, listening, responding is the blueprint for the prayer meeting that will change the world.
And Mike, I know when we practice these four different movements, what will happen after we just rest or listen and we're honoring the Lord, people will come up with scriptures or some insights or impressions or something that they dreamed about or thought through, and it just fits so well, and it's been amazing
exactly.
how the prayer gathering
yes.
moves forward.
Yeah, exactly, Mark. That's exactly right. To go on, that is, if we understand the main mission of the church to be honoring the real presence of the Lord in our midst.
Hmm.
When Moses asked God, quote, "What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" unquote, Exodus 33:16, the Lord had already answered him. He said, quote, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." True faith leads to rest, the settled trust, confidence, and well-being which comes from knowing the Lord is absolutely in charge.
Hmm.
The people of God are to live in rest, move in rest, protect their rest, and have their being in rest. Believers in Christ ought to be the most rested people on the planet, full of peace, free of anxiety, able to hear the mighty whisper of God.
Mike, read that again.
Okay.
Listening friend, this is an exhortation, maybe some healthy conviction for all of us, because we should be, as followers of Jesus, the most at peace, the most restful, the most grounded, the most in love with God because of this very truth.
Yeah, I'll read it again. The people of God are to live in rest, move in rest, protect their rest, and have their being in rest.
Hmm.
Believers in Christ ought to be the most rested people on the planet, full of peace, free of anxiety, able to hear the mighty whisper of God.
Mm.
All our prayer meetings, therefore, should include this initial component. They should begin with rest. This could include times of silence and meditation before the prayer set, as well as individual scripture study, quiet prayer, journaling, or reflection. The prayer meeting itself begins with honor. This one element is remarkably absent in many prayer meetings today. We often come to prayer meetings with temporal problems pressing on us from every direction. We do not have enough of X, the time is not right, or the place, as it was for the disciples in the stories of the feeding of the 5,000. "Jesus, this is a remote place," they said, limitations of space. "Jesus, it is too late in the day," limitations of time. "Jesus, we only have a few loaves and a couple of fish," limitations of resources. Such are the components of an earthly worldview of unbelief. And this worldview often informs our prayers, meaning we come to the prayer meeting anxious to petition the Lord for what we think we lack.
Hmm.
So the prayer meeting begins with petitions. Very often when the petitions are finished, the prayer meeting is over. Jesus, however, modeled a different approach. Instead of choosing to focus on what he believed he did not have, he chose to honor God. He looked up to heaven and gave thanks. In not one of the recorded accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 do we see Jesus asking for more bread. Instead, he focused on heaven, on the kingdom, on the Father. We might say it this way: Jesus thanked God and the bread came. It is the same principle we find in the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be your name" comes before "give us our daily bread" for a reason. Honoring God first, placing him first above our needs, is the proper approach to our Lord and King. Honoring God first before our needs, before our petitions, is the crucial missing piece in both individual and corporate prayer today. Honor takes many forms, but primarily it includes thanksgiving, where we enter his gates, praise, where we enter his courts, and worship. That's from Psalm 100. Very soon, thanksgiving, praise, worship, and adoration bring on the manifest presence of God. At that point, after the entrance to the gates and courts, we stand in the presence of the King And that is when we present to him our needs and petitions. Mm-hmm. Honor first, then petitions is the order. No one begins petitioning a king from the gates or just outside the courts. We must be in the courts, so to speak, in a close hearing relationship with the king before we can express our needs. During this time, believers are to be sensitive to hearing the voice of the Lord. We do not honor God, however, to get anything from him. We do not honor him because we want something. We honor God simply because honor is rightly due him, and we ask nothing in return. However, because we know he's a speaking God who indwells us and has lavished us with gifts, we expect him to respond. We listen for the word he is sure to be sending. He loves to be honored. He loves it when we thank and praise him. He loves direct words of affection, worship, adoration, love, and desire. When he experiences this, he comes to his people in special and unpredictable ways. He shows up and begins to move among us. At this point, the Lord is truly present by his Spirit, and then he begins to direct the affairs of the church through the people in the form of prophecy, teaching, revelation, and so on. As it was with the church described in Acts 13, he reveals the mission and identifies the people he has chosen for that mission. Imagine it this way. The people of God are gathered. They deliberately cultivate for themselves and for the Lord an atmosphere of rest. During that time, each person is reflecting on Scripture, meditating on the names of God, getting quiet, preparing to listen, or silently praying. Then the community begins to honor the Lord with thanksgiving for what he has done, praise for who he is, and worship, which is the community with one voice agreeing with who God is. They have entered his gates and are now standing in his court. They stand in the presence of the mighty king. However, from the beginning of the prayer, they've also been listening for his voice, the words, pictures, scriptures, aromas, and impressions which come from his heart. As they listen and they see what God is doing, they step out in prayer. They pray back to him whatever he has revealed and then present their petitions. They respond. They respond with prayers and actions. They do what he says. As they are worshiping the Lord in the meeting, let us say one of the prophets sees a picture of a woman's open purse. The Lord speaks to him and says, "There's a woman in the congregation tonight who needs money. Take up a collection for her." The prophet speaks out the word. The pastoral leaders respond and ask the congregation who is in need. One woman raises her hand. Her rent is due tomorrow, and she cannot pay. The leaders call for a collection. More than enough money is gathered, and they give it to the woman who breaks down in tears, saying, in an adaptation of 1 Corinthians 14, "God is really among you." Or, for example, a prayer community believes the Lord has already revealed a mission. They are to gather all the saints in the region to pray for their city. For months, all they have done is meet, honor the Lord, listen, and pray back what they hear. Only a handful of people are doing this, but the mission is enormous and will take many people, much money, and other resources to pull off. Then one day, a man walks into their meeting. He loves what they are doing, gets to know the leaders, and wants to help. When he meets with the leaders, everyone recognizes that he is the project manager and chief administrator of the project. In answer to the prayers of many, the Lord not only has revealed the mission, but he has now supplied the man who can make it happen. This is what honoring God, ministering to his heart, and trusting in his presence by allowing him to lead should look like. The presence of the Lord is the perfection of wisdom. By honoring God's presence, the community through the prayer meeting becomes the vital distribution center for the release of God's wisdom to the world. It becomes a portal where heaven connects to earth through the manifest presence of God. It becomes a place of teaching, encouragement, strengthening for individuals and for the community. It becomes a means for receiving God's direction for the church and the entry of his kingdom into the world.
Listening friends, can you see why I love this guy and why I love his book, At His Side, Divine Wisdom and the Church in Partnership with God, written by Michael J. Crosta, who joins me today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. He joined me yesterday, so if you missed that program, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen to it under the Mark and Friends tab. Get your copy now. Get multiple copies. Stop by Amazon, and it's titled At His Side by Michael J. Crosta, C-H-R-A-S-T-A. And listening, friends, if there's a stirring in your heart, that's just the appendix. But I love the book. It's broken down into short little chapters, 3 or 4 or 5 pages, and maybe I'll have Mike back in the coming days to read some of those chapters. But it's a great book. I highly recommend it. And we're going to put some of these principles, some of these movements in place this coming Friday night. Basically, it'll be 12:01 a.m. Saturday morning that will begin 6 hours of taking back the night. We'll pray with intentionality during each of those hours, different things we'll focus on, which will include that time of rest, of honoring God, of listening to Him, and then responding and interceding. So a lot of it is in this book, and we're going to put it into practice this Friday into Saturday morning. You can join us and call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. This is happening at the WLUJ Studios in Springfield, 600 West Mason Street. We'll gather around 11:30, 11:45 p.m. So come midnight, we'll be ready to pray through the night into Saturday morning. All listening friends, get your copy of this book, and just that appendix that Mike read is worth the value of this book, but it's filled with so much more. And as we opened up the program with that portion out of James 1:5, this is a promise for you. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It'll be given to you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Michael Crosta with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.